The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 469 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Always appreciate your comments there. Agree, disagree. Everything's welcome at TheSportsRPT. Last week on the show, I was complaining about all of the blowouts in the NBA playoffs. Well, the last two games have gone down the wire. The Warriors look dead against the Spurs in Game 1, and then Kawhi Leonard gets hurt, and everything changes. What a wild one out in Oakland. I also need to go on a Roberts rant regarding the injury to Leonard. I can't believe some of the absolute garbage that I'm hearing from media bobbleheads. I know there are plenty of Yankees haters out there, but I think most fans at least respect Derek Jeter. You may not like the Yankees, you may not like Derek Jeter, but I think you respect him. He was on center stage Sunday night as his number two jersey was retired, and I started to put together a short list of the classiest pro athletes. See some of the names that I came up with in a bit. Two of the top teams in Major League Baseball have bullpen issues, and one manager is already looking for help. It's the middle of May. The Preakness is coming up on Saturday. Can Always Dreaming do it again? Won the Derby? Can he win the second leg of the Triple Crown? And will I be betting after a devastating Kentucky Derby? All of that coming up here on episode number 469 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks for tuning in each and every Monday on The Grizz, GrizzlyProductions.tv, as well as in iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming there. I hope that all of the moms out there had a great day on Sunday. I got to spend the day with my mom and my sister, who's also a mom. My mom, probably the nicest human being that I've ever met. Forget about the probably. She is. I've never met anyone who does more things for other people. And let's not forget, I've told you I have an identical twin brother, and my sister's 1 year older almost to the day. So my mom and dad had three little ones running around, separated by 1 year. You know, one kid, I think, is a handful. How about three all within 1 year of each other? And that's what my mom and dad had to deal with. But my mom, you should see her Christmas shopping list. I mean, this thing is like longer than the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think it's longer than the Holy Bible. I mean, she buys gifts for tons of people, does so much for people at church, all kinds of different charities and things like that, and still keeps an eye on me and my brother. And that's a handful right there. So I hope all of the moms were able to enjoy a Sunday. They definitely, definitely deserve it. Let's start with some hoops here. I wonder what Charles Barkley was thinking when the Spurs were destroying the Warriors Sunday in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Remember when Barkley said, well, at least we have the hockey games on in the background. I'm sure the executives at TNT just loved that comment from Sir Charles, but that's one reason why I've always respected him. He's going to tell you what he thinks. No two ways about that. And Barkley did have a valid point. Too many of these playoff matchups have been routs. The average sports fan doesn't want to see that. You want a good game at this time of the year. If you don't have a horse in the race, you just want to see a close game. And unfortunately, we've had so many total blowouts. But San Antonio goes up 25. And I'm sure a lot of people said, here we go again. Many of you might have clicked, just turned it off, that this was going to be another Behind the Woodshed special. It was not. Kawhi Leonard leaves the game. Third quarter, re-injured his left ankle, and bam, 18-0 run for Golden State. 18-0. That should tell us all how valuable Kawhi Leonard is to this team. 26 points in 24 minutes. A lot of the MVP conversation surrounded James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and I get that, but I thought that Kawhi Leonard was a little bit overlooked in that discussion. Same with LeBron James. And you saw Leonard goes out of the game. Whew. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. Perfect there. He had 8 rebounds. And you're going to say, well, Paul, Spurs won Game 6 in Houston by 39, and Leonard did not play. Let me tell you this. Playing the Rockets and playing the Warriors, different ball game. Much, much different story. Golden State has a lot more weapons on the offensive end. The Warriors exploded for 39 points in the third quarter. Greg Popovich teams take a lot of pride in their defense. That's something that he's always stressed. They don't get torched like that very often, where a team's going for 39 in 12 minutes. San Antonio was still up 9 with 8 minutes to go, and then Kevin Durant just took over the game. He hit a 3, he got a dunk, he made another 3. That was followed by a jumper, and that run by KD got the Warriors within 3 points. They took the lead on his shot with 4 minutes remaining. It was all KD all the time. And that's what you expect from a superstar at this point in the season. I mean, we're talking Western Conference Finals. And he really came through there when they were in some trouble, down 9, 8 minutes left. And then the Spurs had a possession where they could not grab a defensive board. And Steph Curry made him pay with a 3-pointer. That tied it up at 106. Curry had a layup to put him up 5 with 40 seconds to go. Spurs would not go away, though. In fact, they still had a chance to force overtime. LaMarcus Aldridge had an open look from beyond the arc in the corner. Now, he's not really known as a three-point shooter, although percentage-wise, he shot it pretty well this season. He only took 56 threes, but Aldridge made 23 of them. He did not make this one. He clanked it, and Golden State's comeback was complete. 113 to 111 was the final. So if you had Golden State on the money line, you're breathing a lot easier. Largest comeback in the conference finals in 15 years. Wow. I mean, when you're up 25, you expect to get that W. And not only did San Antonio lose the game, the Spurs lost one of the elite players in the league. So a double whammy for San Antonio. And this really has to sting if you're a Spurs fan. Tough to swallow. I mean, this is a punch to the gut. Aldridge led them with 28 points. You know, people have been asking, when's this guy going to show up? He had almost 30 in this game. Ginobili, the ageless one, 17 off the bench, and he was 7 of 10 from the field. You know, I'm big on efficiency. Well, he got it to you there. Patty Mills, who's taken over at point guard for Tony Parker, he really, really struggled in this one. He was 1 of 8, only 5 points for Patty Mills. Pau Gasol, also a non-factor. He was in foul trouble, really did not play a whole lot in this game. 5 points, only 2 rebounds for Gasol. Golden State was carried by Durant and Curry. Surprise, surprise. 74 combined points for those two. 40 for Steph, who knocked down 7 3-pointers. He had as many triples as the Spurs' entire team. They really didn't shoot it well, despite that huge lead. They were 7 of 22 from 3-point land. Both teams were sloppy. I expect more out of these clubs. 36 total turnovers, 19 by the Warriors. So Golden State clearly does not play its best. Down 25, a 16-point first quarter. That was their worst quarter so far in the playoffs. Draymond Green was in single digits. Klay Thompson did not have a big game, and they still are able to come back and win this one 113-111. So at the end of the day, definitely some things to work on, but they'll take that win and a huge comeback. And now we wait to see about Kawhi Leonard and him limping around. It did not look good. And, you know, it's not the first time that he's injured at this postseason. I mentioned he had to sit out game 6 against the Rockets. And even though they won that one, you know, most people didn't give San Antonio much of a chance even with him. Now, I mean, nobody's going to give him any chance. Golden State was a minus 1,600 favorite. Okay, so if you put up 100, you were risking $1,600 for the Warriors to win this series. That's how big of a favorite they were. I think the Spurs were plus 900. So if you put up 100, you could win $900 if the Spurs won the series. Much more on that injury in a second. Quick break, and then time for a Roberts rant. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. They've been with the show for a long, long time. We appreciate that. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. Zenergy. These products feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that's important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, known as the Sleep Doctor, recommends these new iHome products, and he is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. Go to iHomeAudio.com, take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. That website again, iHomeAudio.com. A lot of cool stuff there. This is episode 469 of the Sports Report. Thanks for tuning in every Monday on the Grizz and on iTunes in the podcast section there. Love to see those 5-star reviews. Only takes a second. We appreciate that. All right. I took you through the game between the Spurs and the Warriors. Obviously, the injury to Kawhi Leonard was huge. The first time he went down, he stepped on a teammate's foot along the bench. Nobody's talking about that, but he did step on a teammate's foot along their bench. Then he came down on Zaza Pachulia's foot and left the game for good in the third quarter. I could not believe the reaction by media members. Actually questioning whether Zaza did that on purpose. Seriously? I mean, if it's some knucklehead on Twitter or some screwball on Facebook and he's screaming and yelling that it was a dirty play, I could care less. However, when reporters are throwing it out there, I lost my mind. I even heard Michael Wilbon, who I respect, but I heard Michael Wilbon suggest on ESPN that the NBA needs to take that play out of the game, that it should be a flagrant foul. What? I mean, this stuff happens, all right? Listen, anyone who has played basketball, and I'm not talking about the NBA, anyone who's played any amount of basketball, whether it's high school, just pickup games, you have seen this happen, either to yourself or somebody else you were playing with. Guys go up for a shot, they come down on somebody else's foot, they roll their ankle. It happens all the time. This is not a dirty play. This was an accident. And I watched the replay a bazillion times, all right, just to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Pachulia is closing out on Leonard as the shot clock's winding down. Now, remember, he's a 7-footer here. He is not the most graceful player, not exactly light on his feet. So he closes out like any defender would. And when Leonard is coming down, and go back and look at the replay, when Kawhi Leonard comes down, Zaza isn't even looking at him. His back is turned like he's going to box out, and he's looking at the shot to see where it comes off the rim. So how would he know exactly where to put his foot so that Leonard comes down on it? Somebody explain that to me. How does he know where to put his foot if he's not even looking at Kawhi Leonard? It is absolutely absurd. Total garbage. This was not done on purpose. It was an accident. It stinks that Leonard got hurt. It really does. Because you want to see teams at their best. We're in the conference finals here. I don't want to see anybody shorthanded. And you know I have more respect than almost anybody out there for the Spurs organization. When you never see them on SportsCenter or the other highlight shows, I'm always talking about how much I respect and appreciate what San Antonio has done. Not just this year, but the run that Popovich had with Duncan, Robinson, Parker, Ginobili, all these guys. So it stinks that he got hurt, but let's not make stuff up here just to stir the pot. I mean, this became a really hot topic post-game, and it's nuts. Even Leonard said that Zaza did not do it on purpose. Did not. I don't like to bash the media, but in this case, I can't resist. And I really, really hope that you're not buying into this junk, because this is a non-story. He was not trying to injure him on purpose. If you feel differently, let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Everyone has the right to be wrong. I'm at TheSportsRPT. All right. Good to get it off my chest. Sometimes you just got to let it out, right? You can't let things build up inside. Sometimes you just have to vent a little bit. So on to tonight. We have a Game 7 up in Boston. John Wall kept Washington's season alive with a money three ball from the right wing with 3 seconds to go in Game 6. He misses that. Time to get out the golf clubs, baby. Season over. Clutch shot by Wall. 92-91 victory for Washington. He had 26 points. Bradley Beal poured in a game-high 33. Those two, listen to this, those two had 23 of the Wizards' 26 points in the fourth quarter. They scored all but 3 of the points for the team in the final quarter. Beal could not throw it in the ocean from deep. He was 1 of 8 from 3, and they were 5 of 24 as a team. Jeez, usually you don't win like that. Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley each had 27 points for the Celtics. And how about that awkward bank shot by Al Horford in the final seconds? What was that? Who goes glass from that angle? It was an ugly shot, but he banked it home to give them the lead. But then Wall bailed out the Wizards with that three-pointer. As for Game 7, doesn't really matter to me who wins, because Boston or Washington does not have a shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sorry, true. Not the way LeBron James is playing right now. Cleveland's just a better team. I know Boston's the number one seed. Congratulations. They are not better than the Cavaliers. I will take the Celtics in this Game 7. The home team is 10-0 in the season series. 4 regular season games and the 6 playoff games between the Celtics and Wizards. 10-0, pretty good trend right there. Boston won the last game at home, Game 5, by 22 points. Not close. So I'll go with the Celtics. I would not be shocked if the Wizards won the game. I mean, Wall and Beal are very explosive players, capable of going off at any moment. But I'm going to take the Celtics in Game 7. Eastern Conference Finals start on Wednesday. Now, maybe we just fast forward to the NBA Finals, especially if Kawhi Leonard can't come back. And that would be a shame. Your thoughts on hoops? Always welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. All right, to baseball now. No one will ever wear the number 2 for the New York Yankees again. Derek Jeter's jersey retired in a very, very nice ceremony in front of a sold-out crowd. Jeter did not speak very long, but he got his point across in fine fashion. He said, quote, "There isn't a person or player I would trade places with that's playing now or ever. And the reason why I say that is because I got a chance to play for a first-class organization and in front of the greatest fans in the history of sports." Along with retiring his number, He gets the plaque out in Monument Park. If you've never been there, really cool. Yankees also gave him a 14-carat white gold ring with the number 2 in diamonds. Sparing no expense for the captain. Number 2 is the 21st number retired by the franchise and the final single digit to be honored by the Yankees. Now, the number 0 is available, but the Yankees have never given that one out. Obviously, if you want to look at the stats, they're impressive. 310 lifetime batting average, 260 homers from the shortstop position, a 14-time All-Star. He won 5 gold gloves. Gino was the rookie of the year in 96. Top 3 in MVP voting 3 times. And over his 20-year career, he won 5 World Series. 5 of them. He's the Yankees' career leader in hits. I mean, think about all the great players. You know, Ruth, DiMaggio, Mantle, Maris, Berra, on and on and on and on. More hits than any of them. He's number 6 all-time in hits. He's also the Yankees' career leader in games played, at-bats, doubles, steals. He had more than 350 steals. Had 4 or 5 seasons with 30 or more stolen bases. And retired as the team's longest tenured captain. The other thing you look at is the postseason numbers. 308 average in the playoffs and a postseason OPS of 838. Not too shabby. 20 of his former teammates were there. Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, Andy Pettit, Mariano Rivera. His former managers, coaches were there. His grandmother was there. His parents were there. His sister, his wife, his nephew. So really, really nice moment for him and his family. Joe Torre called Jeter the greatest player he ever managed. Quote, he wasn't the most talented player both offensively and defensively, but for some reason you wanted the ball hit to him. He never disappointed. And I think Joe Torre makes a great point there. Jeter was not the best player in the game during his era. But, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, he was clutch and he was a winner. And at the end of the day, that's probably what matters most. He wasn't all about the stats. He was about winning. And he did it the right way. There is a ton of pressure playing for the Yankees. You know, when you play in New York, some guys can't handle that. And it's easy to get in trouble in New York City, all right? They never turn out the lights. Plenty going on there as far as the nightlife is concerned in New York. But you never heard anything bad about Derek Jeter. Total class act, a true role model. You know, you hear so much nowadays about, you know, players, regardless of sport, getting in trouble off the field. This guy was a legit role model, carried himself with grace. So maybe you hate the Yankees, but I still think most people can respect Derek Jeter. And credit to his parents. And he did give a shout out to all the moms there, which was nice when he started his speech. But I started to think just briefly here, the classiest pro athletes. And I just put this together quickly, but Jeter would definitely be on my list. Baseball, I'd put Jeter there. Mariano Rivera, one of his teammates, the greatest closer of all time, a guy that never said 2 words. And Jim Thome, played with the Cleveland Indians, played with the Phillies, Gentleman Jim, big lumberjack type of guy, super nice guy. Basketball, couple of Spurs here. I have Duncan and David Robinson, the Admiral, on my list. I put Grant Hill on that list as well, and I'm not a Duke fan. I don't like the Dukies, but he was a class act. Football, I had Peyton Manning on there, and a current player, I have Russell Wilson of the Seahawks. Hockey, Nicholas Lidstrom came to mind. Defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings from 91 to 2012. Always heard really, really nice things about him. And then boxing, I threw in Manny Pacquiao, one of the best boxers of all time, and also a senator in the Philippines. I mean, he is an idol in his home country, and he's doing a lot of work there to try and help his people. So who would you put on your list, the classiest pro athletes? Not the best, Just talking about class here. Good guys. Rivera, Tomey for baseball. For hoops, I got Duncan, Robinson, and Grant Hill. Football, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. Hockey, Nick Lidstrom. Boxing, Manny Pacquiao. And Jeter as well. So as far as class goes, who do you put on that list? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. Let's stick with baseball. Dusty Baker saw his bullpen blow another ninth inning lead Sunday against the Phillies. And Baker, who is the king of wristbands, he said, quote, "You're always pushing for a trade, but there ain't nobody trading right now. Nobody's going to drop you down a knockdown closer out of the sky until some teams are out of it," end quote. And he's right. You know, teams just aren't making trades in the middle of May. Baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Long way to go. So teams aren't going to say, oh, yeah, we're out of it in the middle of May and trade you their closer. But I think it tells you what Dusty Baker's feeling right now. He has to be at a loss because all these blown saves. I mean, their bullpen just dumped gasoline on the fire. Blake Treinen, ERA of 8. Sean Kelly, an ERA of 7. Joe Blanton, an ERA of 9.5. Washington's relief pitchers going into Sunday had the worst ERA in the National League, 5.18. Now, here's the kicker. The Nats still have the best record in baseball. They're 24-13, even with that dumpster fire of a bullpen. Imagine if they had a good bullpen. Man, oh, man. I mean, that lineup is tough. Got Harper in there. You got Rendon. Zimmerman's hitting again. Obviously, Murphy. The young kid, Turner. I mean, they got bats in there, and they're starting pitching. You have Scherzer to lead the way. That's a good club. Gio Gonzalez, Tanner Roark, Strasburg, obviously. But, man, that bullpen. Obviously, Dusty Baker's already thinking about a trade. And then the Yankees, they've been one of the great surprise stories in Major League Baseball. 22-13. So they're not far behind the Nationals. And they're in first place in the AL East coming into the week, a half game up on the Orioles. But now Aroldis Chapman is on the DL, and he's likely out a month. Joe Girardi said he was shocked. He called it tendonitis and bursitis. Chapman, who's a four-time All-Star, 7 saves and 8 chances. ERA was high, though, for him. His ERA was 3.5. But you have a guy here who's not a bad second option in Dellin Betances. 6'8", 265. He's humongous. 22 strikeouts in 12 innings this year. Almost 2 an inning. And his ERA is 0.75. So you got a guy with an ERA under 1, and that's your second option to close. But still, not having Chapman, you know, that certainly hurts. But I have to give the Yankees credit because I think most people thought rebuilding this year, not a real contender. And, you know, here they are, 9 games over .500. This is episode 469 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows every Monday. You can also listen in iTunes. Keep those 5-star reviews coming there. Well, you know, I like to play the ponies from time to time. And coming up on Saturday, the 142nd Preakness. Looks like there's going to be about 11 horses in this. Entries are due on Wednesday, and that's the same day when they will draw the post positions. Always Dreaming figures to be the favorite. This horse has won 4 in a row. Arrived in Baltimore 3 days after winning the Kentucky Derby by nearly 3 lengths on a sloppy track. So they got him down there early. Todd Pletcher's the trainer, one of the best in the biz. He wanted to give Always Dreaming a chance to, you know, get used to the new surroundings down there. I think it's a smart move. Pletcher said they like what they're seeing. All indications have been great so far, so that's good news. Pletcher, by the way, 0-for-8 all time in the Preakness. Several horses that skipped the Derby are going to be well rested here. Let me give you just some of the names. Cloud Computing, because some people just pick horses on the name. Cloud Computing, Conquest Mo Money, Multiplier, Senior Investment, Term of Art. There'll be some of the new horses in the field. And some of the horses that were in the Derby will be back. Classic Empire, who a lot of people thought would win. Classic Empire ended up fourth in the Derby. He'll be back. A second place, Looking at Lee, will be back. Now, I would have sat him out in this race because I think he's more of a closer. I would have sat out Looking at Lee and run him in the Belmont, which is the longest leg of the Triple Crown, because you saw how he closed in the Derby. But they're going to run him here. And Gunnavaria will be back. He finished 7th. Hence, who finished 11th in the Derby, will be back for the Preakness. That was the wise guys loved Hence, and he finishes 11th place. The Preakness did lose a potential starter on Sunday. Royal Mo sadly suffered a career-ending injury during a workout at Pimlico. So Royal Mo will not be in the field. Again, the draw is coming up Wednesday. Not sure if I'm going to bet it or not. Usually I do, but the Kentucky Derby was really deflating to me. I mean, that was a backbreaker. I had the top two horses in a try, and I told you the story last week. One of my buddy's friends gave him the number 11 horse, which ended up coming in third. I did not include it because I hadn't read anything about this horse. I didn't think it was good at all. Nobody was talking about that horse. It ends up finishing third. If I would have included it, we would have won $8,300. So that's a little bit frustrating. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet with the Preakness, but I'll definitely be tuned in. That's for sure. Finally, a little NHL. The Ducks are still quacking. They beat the Predators 5-3 on Sunday night in the Western Conference Finals. So that series is tied at one game apiece. Predators have been a real surprise story during the Stanley Cup playoffs. A team that was fourth in their own division is down to the final four in the NHL. And that series, again, tied at one. Tonight, the Penguins are home against the Senators. Ottawa won game one, 2-1 in overtime. Very low scoring game. That was a bit of a surprise. Pittsburgh is a pretty big favorite tonight at home for game two. More than a 2-1 favorite here. I think you got to like the Pens, right? I mean, do you see Pittsburgh losing both at home to start this Eastern Conference Finals series? I don't. So I like Pittsburgh. I mean, that would be a shocker if they go down 0-2. Because I think everybody thought whoever won the Pittsburgh-Washington series was going to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And as I've always told you, two teams you can't trust. In the NHL, it's the Capitals after the first round. And in the NBA, it's the Clippers. And it happened again. So every now and then, I get one right. Every now and then, a blind squirrel finds a nut. Thanks again for tuning in. Tell your friends, your coworkers, if they like sports, check out the podcast with you every Monday here on The Grizz. That's grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, the show is in the podcast section of iTunes. I'm Paul Roberts. This has been episode number 469 of The Sports Report. Have a great week, everybody.